Amen. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. Thank you, Sister Jones. Praise God tonight for blessing us to be back in the house of the Lord. Certainly, what a beautiful song that I think all of us learn as children. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I think a lot of people, I know somebody I knew that they always say when they got on a plane to take a flight, they would say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But somehow that's a very comforting psalm, and we praise God for that tonight. And for you being back in the house of the Lord, this is, you know, this winter months just zipping right past. And and today, here it is, the 20th day of February 2018, and we're here in Kentucky. Hit somewhere pretty close to 80 degrees, set a record for this time of year. So all of these are indicators that the Lord has said, I'm coming soon. You see these signs that I'm sending to you, and certainly unheard of things that's happening, but not according to Scripture. The Bible has declared that, you know, that in the last days certain things are going to happen, and these are the signs of the end time. And I thank God that He loves us enough again to give us a warning sign of what is to come, give us sort of a chance to get it together. And that's what I love about God. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. And we're serving a wonderful Savior. So we love the Lord tonight. Thank you for being back in this part of the vineyard on this another Lord's Day Bible class. And Lord willing, this time next week, I guess we'll be somewhere near the Apostles, because our bishop board conference will be in session. So, but there'll still be Bible class here. But we'll be away in our conference in Indianapolis. Be praying for us. I started the series some time ago on the topic of marriage versus divorce. Marriage versus divorce. And what we try to do is to sort of give you some background of all that's happening in our world, especially the United States of America, and the epidemic, I would call it, in divorces, and what the law says about it, what man says about it. Then we went to the Scripture to see what the Lord says about it. So we use those two approaches, you know, what the world says, what the world does, what they think, but then we contrast that to what the word of the Lord says. And we know that they're diabolically opposed to each other, because God said when He instituted, conducted the first marriage in Garden of Eden between Adam and Eve, He said, well, for what God has put together, let no man put asunder. So that's what His word said from the beginning. Well, we know all things, you know, we know what the Lord says sometimes, but we sort of sometimes mess it up. We get involved in all kinds of things. So back in the day in the book of Deuteronomy, we talked about, you know, Moses gave them, if you didn't like your wife, you can give her a writing of divorce. And I shared last week, it's sort of strange that only the man could do that. The woman couldn't do that. The woman couldn't write no divorce, but the man. So, but that was not God's plan. But man brought all these things upon himself. So we talked last week about, I think there were 9 psychological reasons or pointers that they said that if you want to have a good marriage, you do these 9 things. And so, if I can find it, I might take a look at that real brief. If I can find it or not, but I don't have to. Go go to the slide here if I can get my. And here, I think it's around. Well, okay, I'm gonna briefly go over these, and let's see what. Okay. Here we go. Last week we talked about. I'm just gonna mention these. 9 psychological tasks for a good marriage. If you do these 9 things, they say this is a good chance that you succeed. Common sense things. And we talked about, one says separate emotion from your family that you grew up with. You know, you left mama's house there. Don't run back to mama's house when stuff ain't going right. So you got to separate yourself from family members, and now you're married. He says you're no more twain but one. Then number 2 was build togetherness based on shared intimacy and identity. I'm not going to go into detail last week. Build a rich and pleasurable sexual relationship and protect each other from intrusions in the workplace and family obligations. Number 4 was for couples with children, embrace the daunting task of parenthood and absorb the impact of a baby's entrance to the marriage. We said sometimes the wife gets jealous of the husband because he maybe spends too much time for the baby or vice versa. So you got to understand when a baby comes into the family, you know, that if you don't do it the right way, you can have a conflict based on that, which you shouldn't, but that's the way the world is. And confront and master the inevitable crisis of life. There are certain things that are simply going to happen. You got to embrace it, you know. When two people get together, it's inevitable that there are going to be disagreements. So you just, you know, don't act like, boy, I'm shocked that this happened. No, you know, this is life. Keep it real, okay? Then number 6 was maintain the strength of the marital bond in the face of adversity. When things got getting tough, adverse circumstances happen. Learn how to express the differences in anger and conflict. Learn how to resolve conflict. 7 was use humor. So lighten up. You gotta have a sense of humor in this marriage. You know, don't be too serious. Don't take life too serious. Amen. Take some lighten up tablets. Okay. And nurture each other. You know, needs for dependence. Offering continuous encouragement and support. You know, support each other. Amen. Sometimes, as I said last week, sometimes we don't, especially men, sometimes they don't encourage and compliment their wives enough. And that's, I said last week, we need to work on that. Keep alive the early romantic idealized images of falling in love. When you first met, that spark that went off. You know, and boy, if you can keep that, or when you're going through stuff, if you can just bring back to memory back in that day, boy, ooh, I mean, those are the things what they say. If you do these 9 things, according to some psychological organization, if you do these 9 things, you have a very excellent chance of succeeding in your marriage, you know, and I agree with them, you know, and that's from the Credit American Psychological Association, not my writing. I give credit where credit is due. That's according to these psychological people. So keep those in mind. Now, so on the contrast, that the 10 top reasons for divorce. Okay. So we just talked last week about the 9 psychological reasons. If you want to stay married, you do these things, you probably, and tonight is in reverse. If you do these things, it's almost guaranteed you won't get divorced. That's a surefire thing to get you out of. So these are supposed to be the top 10 reasons based upon somebody else's opinion. Number one, go look at that. You probably know what it is. Infidelity. You know, extramarital affairs are responsible for the breakdown of most marriages that end in divorce. Extramarital affairs are responsible for the breakdown of most marriages that end in divorce. The reason why people cheat aren't as cut and dry as our anger may lead us to believe. Anger and resentment are common underlying reasons for cheating, along with the differences in sexual appetite and lack of emotional intimacy. You know, there's a reason for it. Our infidelity often begins as a seemingly innocent friendship, says cheating expert Ruth Houston. It starts as an emotional affair, which later becomes a physical affair. Starts out as an emotional affair, which ends up in a physical affair. You know, just they put that as number one, and it goes back to we talked about the 9 psychological reasons why good marriages will last. We talked about the workplace. And a lot of things happen at the workplace where people get involved with somebody that's not their mate. That happens quite frequently. In your marriage, you have to know when people are flirting with you, and you should be smart enough to know when somebody's trying to entice you. You know, it just didn't happen like that. No, it happened over a period of time. You know. You know, you get this and you get that, and you know, you send you this gift that you didn't expect to get, and you know, and wanna know if can you go out to dinner? No, my wife's got dinner at home. You know, why would a man accept dinner invitation from a woman when he's married to somebody else? Well, it's just, we just went out to dinner, yeah, all right. But the dinner leads to something else. So they make sure that it might start out as an emotion or a friendly type thing, but it ends up in the physical. So that's they listed that as the number one reason why people get divorces, because infidelity, a husband or a wife cheating on each other. So, okay. Number two, money. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a biggie. Money. Hey, man, folks get, money makes people funny. That's right. Money make you funny. Or that's what the saying goes. And it's true. Everything from different spending habits and financial goals to one spouse to make considerably more money than the other, causing a power struggle that constrains the marriage to the breaking point. Money really touches everything. It impacts people's lives, said Emmett Burns, brand marketing director for SunTrust. Clearly, money and stress do seem to go hand in hand for many couples. You know, money. I wouldn't be getting, it wouldn't bother me if my wife made 10 times what I made. I'd be happy. Amen. I would be jumping up and down. But some brothers or wives have egos. They just think, boy, I'm a man, and she's making all that money. And no, you applaud them, man. I don't understand that one. Somebody, huh? Lack thereof, right, absolutely. Lack of them, absolutely, absolutely. And here's the biggie. Different spending habits. You know, some people are spendthrifts, some just squeeze it to George Washington and say, please let me go. that's the way, you know, some people just spin out of control and just buy everything they will see. And, you know, I said a week or so ago, you know, you don't go out and buy no brand new car, a brand new refrigerator, a 65-inch TV, and you even talk to your spouse. But you know, those are big ticket items. When you do stuff like that, that brings about a conflict. Maybe wife don't want no wash and dry. She's not satisfied with the one she's got. Really big items like that, the husband and the wife both go out and look at it. Oh, we like it. How about you like that one? Oh, that one. Yeah, okay. And they come to an agreement. But you walk in one day, honey, I was in the car dealers. I just fell in love with this car. $46,000. What? No. So some of this stuff we bring on our own. And as Sister Lisa says, sometimes the lack of money, you know, brings about a great conflict because what happens when you have lack of money and the wife and her husband buys something that we can't afford, that brings about a big conflict. You know, we can't afford that. Why are you gonna get the money to pay for it? You went out and got 10 pounds of filet mignon when you could have got hamburger for $2.50 a pound, and you paid $18 a pound for that steak. Are you crazy? We can't afford that. And it starts an argument. And money, the love of money is what? The root of all evil. He's the love of it. So, and that's a fact. I agree with that 100%. So, And another thing happens about money. The wife's got a stash somewhere, and the husband has a stash somewhere, and the husband does not know where his wife's stash is. And the wife doesn't know where the husband's stash is. No, that stash should be in one pile. He said you no more twain but one. You can't have a stash of money that your spouse don't know about. That's called mistrust. You don't trust them. No. I don't go to bed and hide my wallet at night. I leave my wallet on the table. It's free access, you know. But money is a big, big problem in and out of the church. It's not the world. We're talking about church folks the same. It affects them the same way it affects humans. So that's number two. Anybody want to say anything about money? Funny money? Amen. Okay, now we understand this, don't we? Lack of communication. If you don't talk to each other, you're probably going to part somewhere down the road. Miscommunication is a bad thing. Lack of communication. Communication is crucial in marriage, and not being able to communicate effectively quickly leads to resentment and frustrations for both, impacting all aspects of a marriage. On the other hand, good communication is the foundation of a strong marriage. Yelling at your spouse. Yelling at your spouse. Not talking enough. I didn't write this. Not talking enough throughout the day. Making nasty comments to express yourself of all unhealthy methods of communication that need to be ditched in a marriage. Practicing mindful communication to change age-old marriage mistakes can be hard, but it's well worth the effort to improve and save your relationship. You know, like we said, you know, communication. You don't communicate by throwing a plate at your husband. That's not it. You don't communicate to your wife by knocking a hole in your wall, I said last week, and that happened. How'd that hole get there? Husband kicked the hole in the wall. That's not good communication. Dr. Percy. Give us this mic whenever somebody wants to talk. Miscommunication, absolutely. It's, you know, miscommunication, a misunderstanding, you know. Make sure you communicate clearly, distinctly. Don't be ambiguous or vague. I mean, just tell it the way it is. Make sure you communicate it properly so you make sure you're not misunderstood. A lot of that happens. I thought you meant this. I thought you meant that. Well, you know, that was just a miscommunication that causes problems. But the thing is, make sure, you know, talk to each other. Don't argue with each other. Communication, not arguing. That's going beyond effective communication. But a lot of folks argue with the other and loud and, oh my goodness. They say, well, so is it no? So that's a sure sign that the marriage is going to be on the rocks. Okay? Constant arguing. That's another reason, one out of the 10 reasons, if you do those kinds of things, you're going to end up in a divorce, and most likely. From bickering about chores, arguing about the kids, incessant arguing kills many relationships. Couples who seem to keep having the same argument over again often do so because they feel they are not being heard or appreciated. Many find it hard to see the other person's point of view, which leads to a lot of arguments without ever coming to a resolution. Constant arguing. Who wants to come home every day and you in an argument? I said, home ought to be the place where you can come and have some peace. Because chances are, on your job, there's all kind of stuff going on. You said, well, I'll be so glad when I get home. But you're going to, and all of a sudden, you'll come home and you got the same thing at home you've been having to deal with on your job. It should not be that way. But arguing, you know. And sometimes one of the parties is going to have to decide to shut up. You know, when people are arguing, they want to make sure they get in the last word. You don't have to get in the last word, because chances are, if you get in the last word, you're going to say something you shouldn't have said. You need to know when to just shut up and understand, you know. Your point is different than mine, and I accept your point of view. I don't have to always agree with it, but I will respect your right to your opinion. You know, don't make the comment to your husband or your wife that somebody said one time, a fool convinced who is convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. A fool who is convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. You know, that's what somebody told me a long time ago. Don't tell your spouse that. That's probably going to start another argument. So, you know, but That's number four. That's pretty high up on the list. Communication. You know. Don't come in the house and don't speak to your spouse. And they sitting right at the table, you walk right on by, turn the TV on. Not say, "How you doing, honey?" Or leave the house and don't say, "I'm gone." You know, some people do that. Well, say, "I thought you saw me leave." You know, that ain't gonna work. Okay, number five. Weight gain. That's number five. It may seem awfully superficial or unfair, but weight gain is a common reason for divorce. In some cases, a significant amount of weight gain causes the other spouse to become less physically attracted, while for others, weight gain takes a toll on their self-esteem, which trickles into issues with intimacy. You gotta watch. You gotta watch your weight, and that, because that in a lot of marriages that causes a great deal of problem. You know, when you got married, you weighed 120, now you weigh 230. You know, that's a big difference, and that's has a negative impact upon a lot of relationships. So, those are the experts. Give that sister gentleman. Okay.
However, if
that you don't know, thank you, Jesus. Push all the way up. Get me up. Push up.
If the weight gain is the result of your having had two or three babies, then I think the spouse should be patient and just aware of that and patient with that and shall I say forgiving. We have to be for real. We're not going to stay 120 forever. Age is going to come. Illness will come and cause weight gain and other physical changes in our bodies. Mm-hmm. And we have to accept one another as we are until a change comes. You know, I don't think that should be the foundation for, I don't think that should, the fact that they don't look like they used to should be a foundation for why I'm no longer going to be faithful, mm-hmm. or I'm not going to be attentive and loving toward you.
Absolutely, I agree with 100%. But the fact is, it does affect people. I remember a preacher said, the guy said, you know, when I married you, you had a shape like a Coca-Cola bottle. Now you're a 2-liter. So you don't want to say that. But I agree with you. Your husband has to understand, you know, my wife has had 2, 3, 4, 5 babies. You know, it's going to affect her physique. But she's still the same woman that you married. But I think the big thing they're talking about, well, you actually go out and just make yourself fat. You know, some people just, you know, go to McDonald's every day and eating greasy hamburgers every day and eating 5 slices of cheesecake a day and, you know, that kind of weight. That's what, but I think a husband, and I think in many cases they do understand that's going to change in those circumstances. If they don't, they should. But when you do stuff to yourself, and I think you can differentiate the two, that does bring about issues. Some things you can't control, but some things you can control. When you have a child, you can't control that. I mean, that's something you both did together. But when you go out and eat all that greasy food every day, amen, sit and watch TV and eat 2 packs of potato chips and then drink 3 soda pops and, amen, then go back and get a 12 scoops of ice cream, then go to bed. I mean, you know what's going to happen to you. You're going to bloat. So those are the kinds of things I think they're talking about. Folks just get completely out of shape. But just even under those circumstances, they steal your honey bun. That would be my advice to men or to women, the vice versa, you know, they're still who you married. Wait, you know, my perspective, it won't bother me. You know, all of us change. You know, nobody gonna stay the same. So if I'm gonna make my decision based upon how you changed over your life, what your physique or whatever, all that, you know, that's the way life is. You got to deal with it. That's why one of the things back in my 9 psychological reason is to learn how to deal with the inevitable. It's inevitable that your spouse is going to change over the years. You need to know that and deal with it. Deacon Smith.
Bishop, what I had done when we started having the kids, and she said, oh, I'm getting big. I said, babe, don't worry about it. It's more of you to love.
Amen. That's right. That's what it, that's the way to do it, Deke. Absolutely.
That kept things alive, you know, because women do sometimes, because they're smaller when they first get married, they gain weight, they feel that self-confidence, you know, lack of confidence. Don't worry about it. It's only more of you to love.
Amen. After that's what it is. You get that. That's why we talked about in that 9 psychological reason to keep humor in your relationship. You know, hey, you know, ain't no big deal. Okay. Did Dr. Percy have his hand up? Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. That's number 5. That's pretty high up on the totem pole. Okay. Now, this is pretty big. Unrealistic expectations. Unrealistic expectations. Listen, it's easy to go into a marriage with lofty expectations, expecting your spouse and the marriage to live up to your image of what they should be. These expectations can put a lot of strain on the other person, leaving you feeling let down and setting your spouse up for failure. You know, sometimes we expect too much of that spouse. And that's just on keeping it real, you know. So he dropped this sock on the floor and then pick it up, you know. He left the toilet seat up instead of down. I mean these are the things. Be real. I mean, stuff that's going to take you 2 seconds to correct. Why get into the argument of that? Sometimes we expect our spouses to be perfect. It's not a perfect world. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a couple one time, and I said, look, I said, I think you're setting unrealistic expectations. I mean, why can't you just accept the person for who they are? Because if you accept them for who they are, be kind to them, talk to them as your spouse, whatever that thing that you would hope they would do would probably automatically get done. But when you begin to command or demand they do that, now, boy, you're in trouble. You just make them stubborn, hanging in there. But sometimes we just expect too much. The marriage says, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, when you're rich and when you're poor. I mean, they're saying, these things are going to happen to you in your life, but no matter which way it goes, I commit myself to you. That's why those things are in the marriage vows. They realize stuff's going to happen, so I'm not going to expect them to be perfect, you know. But sometimes people think a little bit of thing. I never ever thought you'd do that. Well, you're human. You've done worse, you know. I read someplace where husband and wife was having difficulties and they wanted the divorce. So they said, look, I tell you what you do. Since y'all can't seem to get along, I'm going to give you a sheet of paper. I'm going to give him a sheet of paper. On one side, I'm going to put what you don't like about him or her. Other side, I'm going to put on what you do like about him. But when they got through, they found out the long list of what I like. And they were arguing about the few things they don't like. And forgetting about all them things. Oh, he's a pretty good dude. He's a pretty good woman. But they didn't think about that because they let all these little bitty things blow things out of proportion. So, Dr. Percy.
I was thinking about it. I know of a fella that he was married once before, and he remarried. But one of his reasons, I think, that he complained a lot about, he said his second wife was too clean. Oh. And he didn't like it because she was too clean.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That can go in reverse. Because if let's say in this case, he married somebody, maybe the first person he had was just, you know, clean every once in a while. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe 2 weeks ago I clean, the next 3 weeks. But did you marry somebody every day in particular? Man, that's a shock to his system. You know. So it can go in reverse. That's right. It can be too clean. Because then he will complain that she is nitpicking. I want it. And that can bring about a great conflict. I can easily see why that can happen. But I think the main thing is to accept the person for who they are and live with it. Because you're not going to change. You can't change that man. You can't change that woman. You can change them by being loving. With loving kindness have I drawn you, said God. If you do the same thing, you'll be surprised how things will change. Okay, 7. Lack of intimacy. That's number 7 on the list. Lack of intimacy. Not feeling connected to your partner can quickly ruin a marriage because it leaves couples feeling as though they are living with a stranger or more like roommates than spouses.
Woo.
This can be from a lack of physical or emotional intimacy and isn't always about sex. If you're constantly giving your spouse the cold shoulder, then know that over time it can become the ground for divorce, completely ignoring. Making your relationship intimate and special is the responsibility of both partners. Practice little acts of kindness, appreciation, and enjoy physical intimacy as much as possible to sweeten your relationship. You know, little peck on the cheek once in a while, and little pat on the bottom once in a while, you know, just a little hug once in a while, and you know, that's so these are the things we're looking at. It's for all of us. You have to ask yourself, where am I short? You know, all of us can, on both sides of the fence, can tighten up these areas. We can't take people for granted. Because I said, go back to the day when you first met. Lord have mercy, what a good time you'd have.
Think about when you said go back when you first met each other before you married. Well, I was thinking that, you know, the little sparkles you get, you light up. I kind of think of one little sparkle, the iron sparkle lit up. And I was thinking of, we ought to think about that sparkle when we first met and put that spark into action. Say, hey, I remember you used to light up my eyes all the time, you know. And I talk to my wife like, she said, what's wrong with you? You know, and we get to talking like that. You know, we like you said, remember the former days, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly right. Because, you know, when we first met, you know, he or she could do no wrong. I don't care what you dislike way down the road when you first met, it didn't matter. You were so engrossed and so in love that your love covered a multitude of faults. So, But this intimacy thing, lack of equality. This number eight. Okay, when one partner feels that they take on more responsibility in the marriage, or it can alter their view of the other person and lead to resentment. Every couple must negotiate through their own and unique set of challenges and find their own way of living together as two equals who enjoy a respectful, harmonious, and joyful relationship. You know, that could be quality, you know. For example, sometimes, you know, one of the spouses has got to do everything around the house. Amen. Cook, wash dishes, mop the floor, clean the bathroom, mow the grass, stop the leak. I mean, one thing. You ever heard that saying? I might have said this before, you know. Let me say, as a husband, I run everything in my house. I run the washer. I run the dryer. I run the dish. I run the vacuum. But that's what we're talking. That's what you run. If you want to run something, you got all kinds of stuff you can run that house. Run the vacuum cleaner if you want to run something. Run the dishwasher. You know, so why, you know, it's not a sin for a man to vacuum the floor. Amen. Not a sin for a man to wash the dishes. Not a sin for a man to cook. Equal opportunity in marriage. And some folks like the man, where's my dinner? When dinner gonna be ready? Well, I say when you cook it. So you know God said you're no more twain but one. So we share in the responsibility. That's equality. But there's a lot of inequality in a marriage because one partner expects the other to do just about everything. But if you share the responsibility, man, it should be so much easier, so much easier. Amen, Sister Jones.
I was just thinking. So often, they come from different backgrounds, and very often it depends on the type of relationship they saw in their family.
Okay.
How their mother and father interacted with one another, who ran the show in their house, and the level of authority that was shown by the dad, or the level of submission shown by the wife, or if there was a mom, if dad was absent and all they ever saw was mom running the show and doing everything, or if no wife was present. That the way two people come together, they come from two different backgrounds, and they bring all of those experiences into a new relationship. And they have to learn how to make that work for them. Because baby, you did see mom doing everything, but you've married a man where his father did the money and the da-da-da-da-da. And so you have to learn to live with that. If I make any sense. Yeah. Just that the background you come with, what you've observed for your 20 years or whatever, whenever you marry, and then you come together and create a new home. It's just, I can't say how you create a harmonious home. I can just see the sources of friction for creating a harmonious home. And maybe if couples are aware of that, we come from different backgrounds, so we have to, when we come together, we have to decide how we're going to do it so that we can stay a family.
That's exactly right. As a matter of fact, that coincides with those nine psychological things. If you do, you have a good marriage. And one of them was when you divorce yourself from what you came out of, the family you came out of, you get so used to seeing things done in the way the family you came out of, and you sort of have to divorce yourself from that because you're no longer in that family. And sometimes it's hard for some folks to let go of that's has been the norm for them. So they bring that same norm from that family into his new family, but you got to create your own norm and divorce yourself from the way they did it in your parents' house. Now you got a different household, but I'm sure, as Evangelist Jones said, sometimes they drag that stuff into the new marriage, and it brings about a conflict. So that's a good point. Amen. We've got two more. Okay, not prepared for marriage. You know, you shouldn't have gotten married in the first place. You know, amen. You know, sometimes when you tell people, okay, I don't think you probably should wait a while. No, I think we're ready now. A surprising number of couples of all ages have blamed not being prepared for married life for the demise of that relationship. Divorce rates are highest among couples in their 20s. Almost half of the divorces occur in the first 10 years of marriage, especially between the 4th and 8th anniversary. They're gone. Sometimes you're just simply not prepared. You know, listen, I wouldn't advise anybody to get married and neither one of them have a job. That stuff ain't no sense. Or if one has a job, the other one doesn't, but the one that got the job can't even support themselves. How are you gonna support two? I mean, that's what they're talking about. They really were not prepared, and it was just a disaster waiting to happen. Didn't have no argument, tried their best to struggle, but the struggles you get into, boy, I know it's going to be this hard. Then they split. Wonder why? Because they let their emotions or their infatuation get in the place of reality. They thought, you know, they finally found out, hey, I got to pay a water bill. I got an electric bill to pay. I got a mortgage. I got rent to pay. I got to go to grocery. I got to buy some food. I got to buy gas. Oh, I've been so used to riding in mom and dad's car, eating that food, and going to that refrigerator, turning that electricity, and leaving the light on when you leave. Now all of a sudden you're at the home. Then you got to pay that. You're going to say, whoa, I didn't know about all this. You got to know about all that stuff. You got to sit down and when you get ready, young people get ready to get married, they got to sit down and count up their costs. You know, just here's what reality is. Tell people just the way it is. You double check. Are you ready for this? But a lot of times they say number nine is they're simply not prepared. And certainly we don't want people.
And Bishop, when the kids come, then babies start coming along too. They didn't prepare for that either.
Absolutely. Sister Lisa. Just playing house.
Got married when she was what?
14. They call them babies raising babies. So that happened. You know, 14 years old, Lord have mercy. Don't know anything about life. You know, life is just, no. So that's number reason number nine. Divorces come because some that get married, they're not prepared for it. And the last one, number 10, is abuse. Well, this is what we're into now. abuse. All this stuff is coming out of the woodworks. People who've been abused for years and didn't say anything about it. But now, since it's coming out of the woodworks, some folks who work on this keep quiet. Now they say, hey, I'm not taking this anymore. So now you're getting folks getting divorced. Now, since all this stuff been coming out, might not have gotten a divorce. They kept being abused if this stuff hadn't come out and said, this is not right. So that's a great big thing we're dealing with right now. Physical or emotional abuse. It could, and just not on the field, but there's a lot of emotional abuse. Never put your hands on you, but you can run folks down so much and abuse them with your mouth so much, it's sometimes almost worse than physical abuse. Neither one of them is appropriate. Neither one of them is acceptable. Physical or emotional abuse is sad. It's a sad reality for some couples. It doesn't always stem from the abuser being a bad person. Deep emotional issues are usually to blame. Regardless of the reason, no one should tolerate abuse and be removing yourself from the relationship safely is important. No one should tolerate abuse and be removing yourself, should be removing yourself from the relationship that's in a safe environment. It ends on number 10 because it's ironic, but because we, all of us in here, we read the paper, we see the news talk, folks, and you know, all these high profile people. It's happening. It doesn't happen just in poor folks, middle class. And a lot of it happened to folks who are multimillionaires, billionaires, and things that's happening. And new revelations every day. Oh, he did that, or she did that. Every day it's coming out. Cause they're all coming out of the woodworks now. I read an article today about, think what a woman's name, but she talked about the abuse that she had taken for over 10 years. Because her husband had this executive position, member of the country club, you know, all these kinds of things. If she says something, what's going to happen? All that was in the back of her mind. But now she says, away with that. She's like Popeye. Means going to text you no more. That's what Popeye used to say. That's it. Give that person the mic. But that's what happened. Abuse.
Abuse can be a powerful thing. Mm-hmm. I know a lady, and she was abused, but she was not married to the man. But he told her that she was this, and she was fat, and she wouldn't get anybody else. And she stayed with this fella for a pretty good while. But the thing about it, she was not married, but she believed all that, whatever he said to her, she believed that. Until finally, she just decided to leave him. And then she began to realize that other folks thought maybe that she was attractive, she was this, she was that, but she, everything he said, that she was fat, that she was this, she was that, she believed it. But she wasn't married to the man.
My goodness. Amen. Why not just walk away? Drug, yeah, that definitely be, especially now, drug. Oh my goodness, drug users. Oh my goodness, that's big. That's big.
Still, and everything that's not nailed down, that's a problem too, because you have children, there's no food, the light bill is due, and when you get paid, he gets paid his money, it's all gone toward drugs, to the dope man. Sometimes they let these people on drugs get it on credit because they know when you get paid, you're going to pay the drug dealer back. And so drug usage is a big problem too.
And I to a very big problem. Because drug use, spend all your money, paycheck when you make it home. It's just, especially with the opioids that's going on right now, that stuff is deadly. Dope, cocaine, and the fact that they are legalizing marijuana, and that's going to lead to something else. Because once you get addicted to marijuana, then you want the next thing, and you just pretty soon it's out of hand. So that's a very big one. You're right. Okay, God bless. I think that covers the 10 things that a surefire red flag that if you do these kinds of things, you're probably going to end up in a divorce. So since when you're talking to somebody about marriage, just share these kinds of things with them. Here's what statistics say. So, and I don't disagree with any of those stats, because in reality, people that we know, the people in our own families, friends of ours, have dealt with these kinds of things, and the issues that caused them to fail were these things we just got through talking about. So, just don't do it. God bless you. Put your hands together. Give God a praise tonight for his goodness and his mercy.